You can meet and hear Bill Barr, Albert Moeller, Pavi Rossinen, Chris Roseborough, Brian Wolfmiller, Joel Bierman, and Will Wheaton at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th in Chicago. For more information, visit IssuesETC.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 24th and 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. The last 3 years have not have been easy for public school students or for their parents. Although their parents, the kids did not learn much. That's what we're discovering. The kids did not learn much when they were shut out of school, but the parents learned something. They learned what their kids were being taught in school, and some parents found it hard to believe and then outrageous. And some parents are doing something about it. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Emily Gow joins us to talk about informed consent and public schools. She's senior counsel and vice president of advocacy strategy with Alliance Defending Freedom and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Three Reasons Parents Are Absolutely Right to Demand Informed Consent to What Schools Do to Their Kids. Emily, welcome back.
Thank you.
What did parents learn about their children and what they were being taught in many schools during the pandemic?
Well, many parents learn that their children are being taught politicized ideologies about race and about sex, including sexual orientation and gender identity. They were shocked that these kinds of ideas that are very radical were being pushed upon their children. And so they started to push back. And that's why we've seen so many bills introduced in states to ensure that there is transparency, that what schools teach would be something that parents can find out, not something that's hidden from parents.
How do you explain the resistance to parental input on the part of some schools?
Well, it is difficult to understand why schools would want to hide anything from parents, but there is a lot of pressure on schools right now from activist groups that are really pushing these radical ideologies into the schools. They are doing so, you know, at the state level, even really at the federal level with trying to, you know, the National School Board Association lobbying the Department of Justice to investigate parents. So schools are under a lot of pressure to teach kids really activism and radical ideologies. And then there's also a lot of pressure on schools to hide this information from parents because they know that parents are going to object.
Some have asserted that children belong to the community and not to parents. Where did that idea come from?
Well, unfortunately, that idea has always been around. You see that in a lot of countries where there's a very powerful state, that the state wants to dominate the family and take control of children and, you know, just treat children as if they are creatures of the state. But that's never been, you know, what the U.S. Supreme Court has said. In fact, the U.S. Supreme Court has said exactly the opposite, that children are not the mere creatures of the state, that parental rights are fundamental, and that extends to directing the education of children. And so these schools are really, you know, not respecting what the true state of parental rights is. Children belong first and foremost to their families, which are headed by parents. And parents do have not just the responsibility and the right to care for and direct their children's education, but most parents, you know, love their children and they want to do the best and they want their children to learn according to their own family's values.
Others have scoffed at the idea of parental rights as a code for white racism. How would you respond to that?
I think that is an absurd and completely unfounded claim. Unfortunately, the people who are attributing these motives, these bad motives to parents, that's happening in the media, it's happening from activist groups, they're really not looking at the fact that parents from across the country, from all different backgrounds, racial backgrounds, religious backgrounds, political backgrounds, they all want to know what their child is being taught in the classroom. And every parent regardless of their race or religion or political affiliation, has the right to know what their child is being taught in public schools. Again, you know, most parents love their children, and that's why they have these concerns, and the government should respect that, including public schools.
You write about schools crossing the line between education and indoctrination. Give us some examples, if you would.
Well, we have a lawsuit right now in Albemarle County, Virginia, on behalf of five families. The parents are challenging a policy in the schools, which it's named the anti-racism policy, but that's somewhat of a linguistic trick because it's actually perpetuating racism against students by teaching that not all students are equal. It's teaching that minority students are oppressed and dominated, they're subordinate, and it's teaching that white students are oppressors just because of the color of their skin. And the reason why I say that's indoctrination is because the school district has a disciplinary policy that tells students, you know, you either go along with this policy or you will be punished. And so students aren't even able to ask questions about the policy, much less challenge the tenets of the policy.
Are these attempts to politicize our children?
Well, I think these ideas of critical race theory and the transgender ideology that are being pushed into schools, they are coming from political groups. They are coming from activist groups in the LGBT community, from the Black Lives Matter movement, and these are political viewpoints. And these are not objective ideas that are being taught to students. Instead, again, under disciplinary threat of discipline, students are being forced to embrace ideas of, you know, critical theory on race and gender and sexuality. And this really isn't the purpose of education. The purpose of education should be to allow students to explore ideas and to ask questions. But what we're seeing really is that they're having politics really pushed on them and under threat of discipline.
You mentioned a lawsuit. What are some other ways that parents are challenging these policies and practices?
Well, of course, last year we saw parents across the country standing up at school boards and, you know, asking for change at the school board level. We've seen some school boards be responsive, while other school boards have been very hard against the parents and they haven't responded. They've continued to either withhold information from the parents or stonewall the parents. So that's why I think that there has been this new push for legislation at the state levels, because parents, they're tired of being shut down by their school boards. That's why we also see these lawsuits. Unfortunately, you know, again, the Department of Justice took a really draconian measure by telling the FBI to investigate parents who are speaking at school boards, just exercising their First Amendment rights to try and seek the best education possible for their children.
What are some ways that our schools are being hijacked by gender activism?
Well, schools are adopting what is called a gender support plan, which basically means that they will treat a child who is confused about their gender as, you know, however that child wants. If that child wants to be treated as a member of the opposite sex, the school will, you know, sometimes create a different secret set of files for the student, start using a different name for the student, start addressing the student according to the pronouns of the opposite sex, sometimes allow the student to wear a different set of clothing that corresponds to the opposite sex. And a lot of times this is done in secret. By that I mean they don't tell the parents. They withhold this information from the parents, which is why, again, Alliance Defending Freedom has filed two lawsuits on behalf of parents who've been kept in the dark by these policies, or the parents have been told in one case, in Kettle Moraine, that their wishes didn't matter. The school was going to treat the student according to the student's beliefs about their gender identity. This is a flagrant violation of parental rights.
Florida just passed the Stop Woke Act. It's being portrayed in the media as the Don't Say Gay law. Why are such laws necessary?
Well, I think that the legislation you're referring to in Florida basically allows children to attend school without being indoctrinated into these politicized views on sexuality up until the age of 8, which means that you can't tell like a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, or a 7-year-old that they can be, that they can become the opposite sex. I think that a law that does that is perfectly reasonable law. Parents don't want their children to be misled and told something that is false, that, you know, a person can become the opposite sex. And parents have, again, the right to direct the education and the healthcare of their children. And when schools are treating a child as a member of the opposite sex, especially at such a young age, that is not only interfering with the parents' views on education, it is actually engaging in a mental health treatment when you're treating a child according to gender identity rather than according to their biological sex.
Finally, do you expect there to be greater attrition from the public school system if the rights and responsibilities of parents with regard to their children's education continues to be ignored and resisted?
I think that trend has already begun and it will continue, but I think what is a much better solution is for the schools to respect the wishes of parents and for there to be school choice where parents can choose where they send their children and use public education funds for that purpose, whether it's private schooling, religious schooling, or homeschooling. Public schools are still very important in our nation. 90% of children in America attend public schools. So what should happen in public schools is more respect for parents' rights. Hopefully, there won't just be a mass exodus from public schools, but there will be an effort to reform them and to listen to and respect parents.
Emily Gao is Senior Counsel and Vice President of Advocacy Strategy with Alliance Defending Freedom. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, 3 Reasons Parents Are Absolutely Right to Demand Informed Consent to What Schools Do to Their Kids. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Emily, thank you.
Thank you.
LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces supports all Lutheran Church Missouri Synod chaplains who serve on active duty in the reserves, the National Guard, Civil Air Patrol, and Coast Guard Auxiliary. For more information on their service, visit lcms.org/armedforces, lcms.org/armedforces. In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., it's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. We're going to be hearing from some self-proclaimed prophets, Chris Yoon, Pat Robertson, Cindy Jacobs, and Chuck Pierce on the Russia-Ukraine war.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.